Amen. And what a Savior. I hope you have a melody in your heart tonight. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Last week we introduced this lesson, the biblical account of creation, and we're going to continue with that tonight. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for allowing us together. We thank you for Jesus, and we just pray that you would keep us singing as we go, that you would give us your joy as we abide in Christ, that our joy might remain, that your joy would be full in us. And I just pray that you would help us as we look into the Word of God and consider the culture around us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to just see through the confusion to the truth of your word. Help us to stand firmly on your word, God. It is our foundation. It is the truth. And we just pray that you strengthen our faith tonight. Please help us to be true disciples following Jesus day by day. And Lord, help us, use us to pass on the things that you teach us from your word to others, that we can be disciples who are making disciples for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we introduced this from Genesis 1, and we talked about the fact that God has given us his testimony in creation. We consider the ideas about the origin of life, the origin of all things in our universe. Nobody was there that would consider that today. You basically have two different worldviews. There's a atheistic evolutionary worldview that says that everything just happened by accident, evolutionary processes over billions of years. And then you have special creation. There is a designer and a creator, a great first cause to everything, who designed everything and put it into motion. Now, it takes faith to believe in either one of those things. Nobody could go back in time and do scientific experiments to see exactly what happened. We believe by faith in the Word of God, that God created everything. The atheist, the evolutionary scientist, would look at it and they would believe in things too. They have to believe, though, because they have to have faith, though, because they weren't there, they didn't see it, and they can't go back and run any experience on it. So we have an eyewitness account because God was there. And we look to the Word of God. And I love the simplicity of the way the Bible starts. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Scriptures begin with an understanding that there is God. They begin with an understanding, not an explanation, just that understanding that there had to be a creator. And so we look to the Word of God, and not only that he created all things, but he is before all things, and by him, by Jesus, all things consist. He holds everything together. Hebrews 1:3 says that it's by the word of his power he holds everything in the universe together. And so we see that. I want to talk to you for a moment tonight about the testimony of the creation itself. The work God did in making the world bears witness to his power and glory. Now, when it's unmistakable for those who are willing to look at the world through the lens of Scripture, for us to see the reality of it, that God has power and his glory is seen through creation. Creation doesn't give us the details of God's plan for salvation, but it does reveal that he exists. And it does reveal that we're accountable to God, which is the reason many people don't want to believe in God. Because if there is a God who created all things, then they're accountable to that God. But the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. This is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Romans 1 and verse 20. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has revealed himself through creation so much that he says that the invisible things of God, even his eternal power, is seen through creation. Even his Godhead, even the Trinity, can be seen through creation. And when you look at creation through the lens of Scripture, you're going to see God there. God created. A form of the word create is used 53 times in Scripture. And almost every one of those times, it's directly referring to God's act of creating the universe. When we look at the universe around us, God has designed everything and put everything in its perfect place. Consider Genesis 1, verses 16 and 17. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. You think about creation, that God made the sun and he set it in its place. He made the moon, he set it in its place. And then I love how it's just kind of a side note. It seems like in verse 16, he made the stars also. There's hundreds of billions of galaxies with hundreds of trillions of stars in every galaxy. And that's just kind of a side note. That's the power of our God. He opened his mouth and the stars came out. But God put in its place. He set it in his place. He appointed it in his place. I want to run through a few things just to consider how God created everything just right. Scientists studying galaxies in our universe, there's several different types of galaxies. We happen to live in a galaxy called a spiral galaxy, our Milky Way galaxy. Have you ever looked up at night and you've seen the Milky Way? Anybody ever seen that? Well, what you're looking at is just one of the bands. You're seeing just a density of the stars that are part of our galaxy that are farther away than we can even begin to comprehend. And we look at that in a spiral galaxy, and scientists tell us that when you look at all the different kinds of galaxies that there are, that this galaxy is the best suited for life as we know it. Amen. We live in an ideal solar system. Less than 5% variation of the distance between the Earth and the sun would kill everything that exists on this planet. If we were just anywhere less than 5% closer or farther away from the sun, we're a little bit too close, everything burns up. A little bit too far away, and everything freezes. Listen, God put us exactly. He set this planet in its place. He set the sun in its place. Amen. We think about just our solar system. Jupiter, a lot of people will refer to the planet Jupiter as a solar vacuum cleaner. You realize how many asteroids there are just coming through our solar system. And if Jupiter's gravitational field wasn't so strong and pulling them in, that our planet would be in constant danger of being destroyed by asteroids. God set it exactly where it needed to be. Amen. You think about the sun. Scientists estimate that 90% of the stars within our galaxy are red dwarfs. And so that means that 10% or less of the stars in our entire galaxy are the type of star that we have as a sun that's ideal to give just the right amount of heat without too much radiation. Amen. And even now, maybe you saw it in the news the last week or so, there's been some huge solar storms, and there were some places where you could even see the northern lights from places in Oklahoma because of solar flares. Okay, that kind of stuff goes on. It knocks out radios and all that kind of stuff. But listen, it might interrupt a few things, but it doesn't kill us all. Amen. Praise God. He put it exactly where it needs to be. Amen. And it gives life. You think about the moon. Scientists say that if the moon were a little bit too large or a little bit too small, that it would mess up our rotation, and it would mess up our revolving around the sun and our own revolution around the Earth's axis. The moon produces tides that maintain the health of the ocean. If we didn't have the moon causing the tides, then the oceans would become stagnant and the oceans would die, cease to be able to sustain life. You just think about all the little details, and everything's exactly where it has to be. Amen. And that's all by God's design. But God didn't create this world and our solar system and our galaxy and our universe that we live in. He didn't create all that because he needed something. He didn't create all of this because there was something that he needed that he didn't have. He created all of this not because he needs us, but he desires to have relationship with us. Amen. It's an astounding thing to consider. How vast our universe is, how big our planet is, and that God would care about us. Amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Our God created all of this for his glory, and he did this so that we could have relationship with him. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We exist for the glory of God. That's why he created everything. Psalm 139, from verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God not only created everything out there in the universe, but he created every little detail of you. He made you. And he did that so that you could have relationship with him. There is another thing in our creation that we see very clearly. A lot of people, when they look at the world around us and how things are, they say, if God's so good and perfect and loving, then why didn't he create the world without sin? Why didn't he create the world without sorrow? Why didn't he create the world without death? And the answer to that question is, he did. He did. When God finished creating everything, he looked at everything he made and he said, it is very good. Amen. But he gave man a choice. And he gave man a warning. And when man partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death came into the world. Amen. But God made a way. From the very beginning, he promised a way that we could have relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything in the world today, even though the world has been cursed by sin, we still see the design of God. We still see the beauty of his genius and his design, his creation. And we can still have great reason to worship him today. Tonight, we're going to stand together, if you would, please. We're going to dismiss to our small groups. And I just pray that God will help all of us to learn a little bit more about him tonight, know him better. And I pray for everybody watching at home, spend some more time in Genesis, looking at these truths of God's creation, and let's dig deep into the